This is episode 13 of This Is Us Too with Mary and Blake.
Hi, Shelley. It's Rebecca. I am the worst, most terrible wife in the entire world. I totally forgot that it's Shaq's birthday today. And all he was doing was trying to make me feel better, and I kicked him out of the house. I kicked him out of the house on his birthday, Shelley. And I don't have a car, and I really want to make him this fancy chocolate almond cake for his birthday. Oh, God. And I usually do this, like, really sexy Marilyn Monroe-style birthday dance for him. And, oh, my God, he's going to leave me. He's going to leave me for some hot, not crazy dental hygienist named Stephanie who doesn't forget his birthday. I guess you're not home, huh? This is Rebecca. Did I say that? Okay, bye.
From Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us Too. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC, so sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Everybody and welcome back. My name's Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I only speak to God during playoff season two. It's the only time. Otherwise, you know, I feel like I'm just wasting bullets.
Gotta save it for when it really counts,
right? Of course,
right?
It didn't work for the Celtics this year, but that's okay.
Okay. They got close. They got close, baby.
God let me down this year. That's okay. For the Patriots and the Celtics. Come on.
Hey, get over it.
Come on, God.
Get over it. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Story time.
He's not going to smite me.
I don't know. He might.
You never know.
Didn't you see Moses? Did you see the Ten Commandments?
Anytime I think
see what he did to those Egyptians?
Anytime I think of the Ten Commandments, all I think of is Moses in the history of the world. I bring you these 15. He drops the tablet. Ten Commandments. Oh, Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks is a genius. Anyway, the story for this one, actually, I was surprised that Mary relented.
Yeah, because normally I've done the even episodes. If you guys haven't noticed, Blake's been doing the odd episode story time, and I've been doing the even one, but I did not have a story to share for this episode.
And I'm quite surprised because, you know, I feel like of anybody in this world here, you would have definitely been the one to relate to Rebecca. But okay, no problem.
I wasn't thinking Rebecca in this episode, and I think that's why. I was thinking mostly Dr. K.
Oh, yeah, okay, well, that makes sense.
And so I was thinking of your dad.
Well, that's true. And speaking of my dad, like Dr. K, my dad lost his wife, otherwise known as my mother.
You know.
After just about 29 years of marriage, back in the lonely days of 2002, I was 18 when I lost my mother. You know, as a kid, I remember, you know, well, I wasn't a kid, I mean, but I was younger. I remember being sad. I only cried once during that whole period. I was in college. It was my freshman year. And my English professor told me on Valentine's Day, which is the day that my mother died, said on Valentine's Day, make sure, and she was a woman, she was an older woman, she said, make sure you call your mother, call your sisters or whatever, but make sure you call your mother and wish them a happy Valentine's Day to all the students.
Yeah, it was your freshman year, so this is everyone's presumably first year away from their moms.
Right. So I did just that. I called my mother because my English professor said, hey, you should do this. And I thought, you know, that's probably the right thing to do. And I called my mom, and they were at a restaurant, my mom and my dad, down in Florida. They vacationed there. They have a condo down there. And my mother was very happy to hear from me, especially her son, the first time going away after 18 years, being in college, and here's her grown boy calling her on Valentine's Day, wishing her a happy Valentine's Day. And I was very proud of myself. I thought I did a good thing here. And I hung up the phone, figuring, you know what, you know, no problem. We'll talk to mom. You know, at, you know, right after Christmas time. Well, I mean, sorry, we'll talk
you'll
to
see
mom.
Her. Yeah,
back maybe for my birthday. Yeah. You know, I bet that's in March. Maybe I'll see her in April, or you know what? Heck, I'll see her in the summer when she's doing all my laundry. But wouldn't you know, that day, Valentine's Day, she died. A couple hours later, she had a brain aneurysm. And that was it. That was the end. That was the last time I ever spoke to my mother. And I'm very happy. I'm very fortunate that I had a chance to speak to my mother and say the things that I said. Happy Valentine's Day, Mom. I love you. And as hard as it was for me, I think it was even harder for my dad. And of course, you know, he's, you know, the head of the family. He's got to be Mr. Tough Macho Man and not let anybody know that he is hurting inside. But he was hurting, and I know he was hurting just the way that Dr. K was hurting.
Oh, my God, because it was like looking into your dad's house watching this episode.
Right. As a matter of fact, all my mother's clothes are still in her closet.
Folded.
Hanging.
Hangers.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been how many years?
This is going to be 17 years later. And, of course, my dad has
remarried.
Moved on. He's remarried. I don't have the best relationship with his wife, but you know, it is what it is. He's moved on, but my dad, I've realized, is wildly depressed and still is wildly depressed about his wife.
You know, walking around your house, there's these little pieces. It's almost like little shrines. And that's why I couldn't speak in this episode, because when I saw Dr. K's wife's brush and mirror and all those things perfectly laid out, and I was thinking about how your dad has all of those Princess Diana plates that your mom used to collect, like still perfectly, you know, just displayed, and all these different little things, all these knickknacks that are so your mom, and not at all your dad, not at all his new wife, no. Nothing that would make sense 18 years later, but it's still these little shrines, and
yeah, there's still pictures of my mother up, and, you know, he has a picture of her right next to his bed, mm-hmm. and, you know, they got the whole thing. And yes, you're right, there are little shrines to my mother. Well, they're not overtly shrines to my mother, but if you knew her, you would know that this is hers, you know. And I see Dr. K, and I see how he reacted to his wife's passing, and you're right, all I could see was my dad. Mm-hmm. And all I could feel was that kind of pain. And while watching him and watching him talk to his son and even talk to an empty chair, I can only imagine those are the things that my dad did, especially early on in those really early days. I mean, I was gone to college. My sister Michelle was off doing whatever she was doing. My sister Shannon, she was down in Connecticut with her husband. Nobody was there. My dad was alone. I can't even imagine that. If I was thinking about it actually in terms of you, my darling, had I lost you, and if I lost you at any time, I would be a complete goddamn disaster.
You would not know how to flip and exit the house.
I wouldn't even know what to do. I would be like Carl in Up. That would be me with
losing Ellie.
There,
yep.
Eating the cereal all alone with my little cane
Well,
tennis,
I have a little moral
balls.
To the story then that we'll get to later on in this episode about how this episode showing us the loss of love can also help you find a new love. All right. So, of course, this episode, we want to get into the details and know who, what, where, why, when, how.
All right. Title was The Big Day,
we
obviously
all know what that means.
Referring to the childbirth.
Which is so cool because we're recording this on the birthday of our second child, Felicity.
Which is, yes, you're right.
I know. Yes. This was a big day for us, too.
Big day for us. Felicity, otherwise known as Outlander Baby.
Yes. She was...
May or may not have been conceived on the episode of the wedding.
And was given birth on the season one finale date.
We were in the hospital watching her. I mean, we're watching the finale on an iPad with little baby Felicity in the pram.
We're nerds.
We are total nerds.
Who directed this episode?
The director was Ken Olin. His previous episode that he directed was The Big Three.
Love.
And the writer was the showrunner, Dan Fogelman, who has written the pilot, The Big Three, Kyle, and The Pool. And also another lady, Laura Kinnear, who actually, this is her only writing credit she has.
You know, she just wanted Dipper toeing. That's it.
I mean,
who knows?
You never what an episode to dip your toe into, right? I mean, I'm sure that a lot of this credit has went to Fogelman. I mean, he is the showrunner; he's putting it all together. But I mean, for this lady to have this episode is that's a big deal, my darling.
Yes.
What do you think about the lemonade rating? What are you giving it?
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 5,
uh-huh. What are you giving it?
I'm giving this episode a full out 5.
Wow!
Yay! 5 glasses of lemonade. How about you?
You want to know something?
Yep.
I'm giving it 5 too.
Yay! Just like that.
The first 5 of the season, the first 5 for me.
Wait,
for
you didn't even give the premiere 5?
I gave it a 4.9.
Oh my gosh, this is the first 5?
This is the first 5.
I am so glad you did that little ringy ring.
Not only that, it is, in my opinion, hands down the best episode of This Is Us yet, mm-hmm. obviously, full stop. I mean, that there's... Fact, not opinion.
Wow.
Best episode of This Is Us so far.
And the big three weren't even in it.
And I think that's
except
why.
In infant form. Oh my gosh. Oh, whoa. You just said something sacrilegious.
Well, no, it's not sacrilegious. It's not even a hot take. And I don't mean that because they weren't in it, that means it's great. What I mean is it focused itself.
Gotcha.
Okay, but you know what? I don't want to... it's part of my good, bad, great.
Okay, so the GBGs. The GBGs, the good, bad, great for this episode. I love love. I love love in all forms. Aww. And this episode showed us 3 very different marriages and the trials that they were going through in their love, how they were able to find themselves, find each other, and find other members of their family. Just all the love, the loss of love, how it's literally like this black hole. You know, people lost a child. The other couple, you know, they weren't even able to conceive a child, and their love went on holiday for a little bit. And Dr. K, of course, lost his love. So I just love love in all forms. Mm-hmm. And I was happy that we were able to see it across the board in 3 very different couples at 3 very different stages of life. Mm-hmm. My bad. Miguel.
Shame.
Okay.
Come on now.
Okay. Seriously, the only time I have liked Miguel in season 1 so far was when he was putting up inflatable Christmas ornaments. That was great, Miguel. Aside from that, you've been flirting with the secretary, telling Jack it's okay. It's okay to flirt. Right?
Shame.
We know that you in the future marry Jack's wife, you creep.
Shame.
And then, okay, you then convince Jack to come out and play golf because you know what? Let's leave the wife. You're going to have a baby coming. Let's find more excuses to stay 4 hours away, possibly 5 hours away from your kids.
Shame.
Seriously, Miguel? You're my bad.
Okay. He's still your boy, though. He may be your bad, but he's still your boy.
Okay, my great. Jack and Rebecca not only, you know, saved Randall's life, gave him this wonderful family, who knows where he would have ended up, but they most likely saved Dr. K's life that mm-hmm. same day as well. And mm-hmm. I thought that was really, really cool. So how about you? What was your good, your bad, your great?
I've noticed that my good, bads, and greats, as has for all the podcasts that we do, I focus more on a macro level in terms of writing and how...
Oh, you get wicked deep.
And how the story is constructed as opposed to, like, your boy Miguel. He is your boy.
He's not my boy just because he has inflatable Christmas ornaments.
You officially called him your boy last episode when he did have the Christmas ornaments.
I said that's the only moment he's been my boy. Anyway.
But, you know, regardless... I don't think that I have a bad for this episode. I think I have a good, great, best, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact. And I'm going to go macro again here a little bit. And I'm going to say the good was kind of what I alluded to earlier, which is the story staying back in time.
This is the first time.
Right. The episode completely stays, for the most part, in 1980. Although it does have a little bit of a flash forward at the end of the episode when it's Father's Day and Jack is drinking the cup.
And they're watching the home movie of Rebecca.
But you know, for the most part, everything stays in 1980. And that is what makes it just right, because it sets itself on a specific set of characters. Mm-hmm. And another thing that happens too is that it doesn't have any of these stupid, not stupid, but just overtly crazy twists that This Is Us has so far been known to do for me. And it's funny because Dr. K says life already has enough twists. And he's referring to Empire Strikes Back, Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's almost a meta commentary on the show itself. Because I always think that the show does better when it stops trying to shock us. And it's trying to, hey, look at this. William is gay. Like, even though that wasn't a shocking twist, it's just like it's just throwing it out there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And by focusing on those marriages that you talked about and focusing on the core of the emotions and everything that the characters led the story to go to that place, the show did very well in taking its time and allowing it to stay in one place, in one time, mm-hmm. and focusing on the relationships. I think that did extremely great. But the actual great was Ken Olin himself, the director.
Okay.
And I say that because he has this natural ability for camera movement.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a hot take. It's almost Spielbergian.
Ooh.
The way he moves the camera.
Okay.
It's very natural. It's he focuses on things that you need to know as a viewer. So, for example, when Rebecca was talking on the phone, as we played earlier in this episode for the podcast, you know, he's focusing on Rebecca, but he's moving the camera in and out, left to right, and when she's talking, you see he makes it a point to show you that the cord is wrapping around her belly, even highlighting even more of the fact of how pregnant she really is. And it moves from her face down to her belly, back up the cord, onto the phone, back off the phone, over the cord again, onto her belly. It was just great movement.
Mm-hmm.
And he also did it, too, in Rebecca's, in Mandy Moore, by the way, fantastic monologue as she's speaking to her unborn children, and she's laughing and crying and being happy and saying you're all going to have different laughs. Olin uses this great shaky cam where you as a viewer are just as unstable as Rebecca is. His camera movement,
it was like a home video, yeah, kind of like what Jack was doing.
Exactly. So not only are you looking at it from Rebecca's point of view, but you're having the shaky cam and he's following her. He's tracking her face, but it's still, she's going in and out of the frame. And you, the viewer, are Jack's camera,
mm-hmm.
looking at Rebecca. And that is just freaking awesome. That was great.
What was your best stuff?
But my best, continuing to recontextualize scenes. Remember how I talked about that on the trip when he's like, see through the stuff?
Yes.
And it meant one thing for the eye illusion, but Jack meant it in an entirely different way for Randall.
Correct.
This show continues again to use this tool of recontextualizing scenes. And I have to go back to my Binky, Dr. K, okay, because I love him. His recontextualization of the lemonade scene is a perfect example of what I mean by recontextualizing.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are we thinking that Dr. K in the original monologue is talking to Jack to just try to keep him up and, hey, you know, just make lemonade, yada, yada. You think he is just talking him up. He's coaching him up. And it's great. It's sweet. It's like, oh, my God, it's great. And you hear him lose his voice a little bit because you think he's thinking about his early child that he lost, Dr. Mm-hmm. K. But he's not.
Nope.
He's not thinking about his lost child. The story recontextualizes this scene when he says, when you realize he's thinking about his wife.
Yes.
And not only is he thinking about his wife, he's thinking, do I have to take my own advice here?
Mm-hmm.
That's why his voice breaks. That's why he's having such an emotional moment. Because he just had a conversation with his son about trying to move on. Yep. And he's even threatening his son to not see him ever again if he continues to keep pushing him on this. recontextualizes not only the monologue, but everything that you thought about that monologue. It has another layer now.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. And also, of course, the low-hanging fruit being the birthday part. And you think, oh, it was this sweet moment between two
yes.
lovely people. And it was, but it wasn't either.
But earlier that day was not.
It was a shit show earlier in the day.
Watch your mouth.
Sorry. It was a complete disaster earlier
there
in the day.
Go.
And the reason why that he has a terrible towel is because she buys it for him at a liquor store. Right?
I get it.
And another piece of good low-hanging fruit here, too, is recontextualizing the cigarette that the fireman Joe gives to Jack.
Oh my gosh, right?
You think at the time, oh, it's just a reveal that this is in the early 80s.
Correct.
And yes, that's the way that it is. But it's not. That cigarette, as he puts it in his mouth and lights it up, is him almost giving up on the idea of saving his marriage. That cigarette represents much more than just, hey, have a smoke. Right?
Yes.
So the fact that the show keeps doing this in a way that This Is Us can only do, for the most part, just really good stuff, man. Really great writing. Really great writing. So I really enjoyed this episode.
I agree. You said you had one sneaky bad.
Oh, the sneaky bad. Okay, the sneaky bad. It was actually spending time with the fireman.
Yeah, I have a feeling that maybe that means we're gonna have to see more of him.
I mean,
they spent a good chunk of this episode on him.
Yeah, but I think that was more of a thematic thing.
Okay, I'm down with that.
You know, I think that was just showing you all the different stages of love that exist.
Yes.
You know, between Jack and Rebecca, new parents soon to be, early on, relatively in their marriage, starting life anew.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. K with his wife, their marriage ending due to death. And now this guy over here, Fireman Joe, losing touch with his wife because they can't have children. They are in the middle of it, the thick of it, and everything is falling apart. So I think it was just a thematic choice. And you know, it does shed light on the fact that Randall could have changed somebody else's life,
yeah.
too. I mean, it gives good context to that. I think a really cool choice would have been to show William a little bit more in how maybe his girlfriend...
But he wouldn't have fit in this love theme.
Well, yes and no. His girlfriend died.
I think he was too high. He would have been too high to fit in this episode,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think you're right. Here's what I'll say this. If we don't spend more time with Fireman Joe, I'll be okay. But I think this was just a little bit of time that could have been used better.
I think it also had such an interesting bit of information about about Randall. Like, think about it. Randall could have ended up with him.
Right.
Randall easily could have ended up with him. Poor Randall must have been the hungriest darn newborn ever. I mean, there's a long time for a newborn to go. And I'm so glad that Joe's wife spoke up and said, you need to get that baby to a hospital.
I know.
That baby's a newborn. So let's talk about these couples.
Sure.
So we do have Jack and Rebecca, who are still very early newlyweds, you know, got their baby, got their lives going on. And a very typical thing happens. We have a pregnant, hormonal, about to give birth, Rebecca, who is sweet some moments, has her sanity in some moments, and then other moments, it is all sorts of butterflies and cupcakes and, oh, this is just going to be the most wonderful time of my life, and other moments of complete anxiety and worry and just cray-cray. Just all sorts of cray-cray going up in here.
I loved that beginning montage when Jack's like, I love seeing you pregnant. And she's like, yeah, it's great, huh? You like want to make quadruplets, you know?
Yes.
Or, and then
they were just so cute. They were so into each other.
And then doing a smash cut to her wicked pregnant in bed saying, Jack, I need to pee. And then both of them, him helping her up.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Just so realistic. And this is something that is really wonderful about this show. So many shows show pregnancy in such a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, with the wife just being cute and hungry. And that's really about it. And not the entire rainbow of emotions that can go on between she and her partner. I mean, it's really wild what happens. It is like TV channels of emotions. You can just flick through them and you don't know what you're going to get with a pregnant woman. I'm speaking from my own experience.
Yes.
But I thought what was lovely was when she did realize what the date was. And Jack continues to earn points in my book, little check marks of being a great husband, because he doesn't once say, "It's my birthday. What the heck are you doing, girl? Like, give me a flipping break." He never once does that.
Right.
He just says, okay. He just tries his best to stay calm and knows the real situation is his pregnant wife is just a pregnant wife. Mm-hmm. And I just loved, too, that even when he was away from her, all he wanted to do is get back to her.
Right.
That this might be so hard for some people, and that's all he wants to do.
It's funny because, you know, I largely... I'd say nearly all the time, feel the same. Like, you know, we may get in fights and we may argue or whatever. But, and a lot of guys will say, let's get out of the house. Let's go somewhere. Let's do something. And I always feel like Jack. I always feel like I just want to be around my wife. I just want to be around my kids. I know, like, you know, things are, you know, being stupid right now because of a stupid argument for whatever stupid freaking unknown reason why we're arguing about whatever. But I always kind of want to be around my wife, you know? And the funny thing is here, too, that Jack, as a character, has, for the most part, been this really great guy. A guy that loves his family, loves his wife. We do see him dip a little bit into problem areas, and we see them struggling a little bit further on. But I think it's Mandy Moore, in turn, Rebecca, who has...
Why have you called her Mandy Moore twice today? We've never done that.
I don't know why. I'm sorry.
It's because I pointed her out as Rapunzel from Tangled.
I know.
And you didn't know it.
And I didn't know.
I know.
Now I can't help it.
Now you're just like, oh, she's Mandy Moore.
No, anyway.
Rebecca.
I feel like Rebecca is, as a character, has had a much harder time. And she has to act her butt off in order to match the saintly nature of Jack.
And he's also not pregnant with triplets.
No, but what I mean, like, is she has been given things to do, like, other than just be saintly and perfect, like mm-hmm. Jack has mm-hmm. been given. You know, she's had to fight with Randall, and she's had to be possessed by demons.
She's been more human than Jack.
Right.
Yes.
And so, you know, everybody loves Jack, and I get why. I understand. You know, I often look to Jack and be like, that's the kind of dad or husband that I want to be. But I think it's Rebecca who has this really hard yeoman's work to do to mm-hmm. make this show the way that it's going, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I appreciate what's going on with her as a character.
So I just love their love. Love, love, love. Everything. Everything about that couple. Then we move on to Joe and what's Joe's wife? Samantha.
Oh, before we do that, real quick though.
Yeah.
I love when she comes out of the house and just like, hey, Jack, thanks for the bathroom sex at Froggy's.
Yes. Like, you think he's finally free. He's praying to God with a lighter.
Oh my God. I know. I've had those moments where he gets in the car and he just bangs his head right on the steering wheel, like, oh my God. Oh man. Yeah. I've been there. Sorry. Continue on with Fiam and Joe and Samantha.
No, I just, you know, I think we obviously have two children. We're very fortunate in that regard.
Yes.
And we have some friends who have wanted kids and for one thing or another, don't have children in their lives. And it's so hard when people expect, I'm going to be a parent one day. You know, it's something that you just kind of, a lot of people just think like, oh yes, one day I'm going to fall in love and get married and have kids, or one day I'm going to have a kid. And it can really break people. It can really break people's marriages, and it can really break a person down. And I loved seeing Joe and Samantha reconnect. Once she saw, oh my gosh, he's trying anything. He's bringing home a baby that he just found on the street. Right. Like, you know, I loved seeing their final date at the end at that coffee shop, just restarting, rebooting their relationship. And I think that that was the hardest thing. And that's what's weird, is that these characters we may never see again. These characters are people we don't know or love. But what they did was the hardest, I believe. You know, well, right. Maybe not. I mean, Dr. K getting over his wife too. Yes, that's. Oh, I'm not trying to belittle it, but a lot of people don't make that choice that they did. As a lot of people, especially now, they don't.
Yeah, they just say, "Screw it, it's done."
We're they over. Hit something hard, and yeah, and they're done.
And I hope that it works for them, obviously.
Yeah.
And another bit of clever writing. Well, I don't want to say clever, but fun writing is Samantha taking Fireman Joe's lines and using it on him, being like, "Hi, I'm Samantha. Don't worry about what happened back there. Would you like to get a cup of coffee?"
Just to show that she remembers it just as vividly as he did.
Right. A really good recontextualization of that line. And a good use of that. I really liked it. Really liked it. And I was close to shedding a tear on that scene. I was, even though I wasn't a big fan of Fireman Joe.
Right?
I was close. However, what did get me to tear up is the conversation that we weren't necessarily privy to when Jack had to inform Rebecca that they lost one of their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Just in silence.
And she started to break down and, you know, and like, "Oh, my God, you're lying. You it can't be right. That's not true." Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's great to be privy to that conversation. And it's great to be privy to the conversation of her saying, "I feel like we were supposed to have three children."
Ugh.
I felt them in. I felt each and every one of them kick.
And they had a big loss too. And their marriage, they kind of did it arm in arm through this loss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least through the episodes we've seen so far.
Right. And being able to see the fact that Jack brings up to her, "Hey, I have an idea.
We can bring home three."
It's, you know, a part of me always says, you know, let the mystery be, like Leftover style.
Yes.
But I kind of liked seeing that. I kind of liked seeing that. I thought that was very nice. And Dr. K, just break my heart into a million little pieces.
Right. We just can't get enough of him getting the sugary cereal that's going to rot the kids, you know, mouths out. Ending up cleaning out the pills. I mean, realizing that he was thinking about ending his life and saying it out loud. You know,
I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You had no idea about Dr. K.
No, not at all.
You know, gosh. And once again, like, this is us. We have no idea how sad some people are, how well people hide things. You know, I posted something on Instagram today where I said, you know, we just need to smile more. We need to say hi to strangers more. We just need to tell friends that we love them just because.
Right.
And I think because Dr. K was able to see this huge, wonderful Jack moment of taking in this child and making that lemonade, you know, it jump-started him to see the world differently. And we get to see him, of course, cleaning out, putting things away, the hairbrush and mirror go away, and he actually has dinner with that lady who lives in a very fancy house. She had like a carpet on the wall. People are fancy if they have a rug on the wall.
They call those tapestries, my darling.
Fancy.
Hey, let me see the rug on the wall that you got over there.
How do you vacuum it? Oh my God, we grew up in very different economic systems, didn't we?
Wait, did you get the job lot?
Oh my gosh.
Why would you hang
that
a rug
on
the wall?
That is a tapestry. They look like rugs. Why would you hang a rug on the wall?
Don't you remember from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? When he goes into the castle, he's like, "I'm here for the tapestries?" The tapestries?
Not really.
Wow, man. I'm surprised.
I know, but that's what I do.
Hey, anything else?
Well,
do you have final thoughts?
My final thoughts were, I loved this episode. It was all about love, and I'll be interested to see if the next episode spends its entire time in the future.
That would be interesting. My final thought was, I actually had a listener of ours, not for this particular podcast, but for another podcast that we do, say, "Why the hell are you podcasting about this basic show?"
Oh my gosh.
This Is Us. And
I saw that. Wasn't that on my wall?
I don't know where it was.
It was on my wall.
Was it your wall? I forget.
Yes, it was a guy and he wrote.
Yes.
On my wall.
And we have done shows that I think are especially The Leftovers. Speaking of that, shameless plug to listening to The Leftovers, The Living Reminders podcast by Mary and Blake when you get a chance. The Leftovers was a very deep show. Outlander is a very layered show. Even Gilmore Girls, for its own right, is a layered show. This one is, This Is Us, is anything but subtle, and mm-hmm. It shows you what it is. It's right there for you to see. It doesn't leave a whole lot for interpretation. And everybody is entitled to their opinion, and I find. But I think there's a place for every show, and there's a place for every person to enjoy a specific show for a specific reason. And I bring all this up because This Is Us, as it relates to this episode, is how good it can be, in my opinion. It can be well written. It can be well directed. It can be well acted. I think this is the high watermark so far. And if every episode like this is going forward, there is a place for this episode to be in your top five. There's a place for this show to be in your top 10. And I think I'm proud to podcast about this show because this episode marks the kind of quality that it can be. And it was a quality episode.
It was. And, you know, I feel like other people feel that strongly about other episodes, maybe previous episodes. This episode spoke to us.
Right.
We've been through two pregnancies together. You've been through a traumatic loss of losing your mother, and you've seen your dad pretty much act like Dr. K. And so I think this episode made us feel like, oh, this is us. This is our life. This is our life. Now it's on TV and it's taking place in the early 80s. But maybe different episodes have done that for other people. So
sure.
Joe Schmo writing on my wall, go kick sand. Go throw sand.
No, well, you go pound sand.
Go pound sand.
My choice, my favorite that I've been using lately is go get your shine box.
I like that too.
I like that one too. That's always quite good.
There we
go. So yo, Joe Schmo, get your shine box.
Go pound sand. One person I do need to say a special thanks to is Go For High on iTunes. Go For High wrote a review. Remember how I was asking for written review, guys?
Guess what?
Someone did. They said, you think you're all ready for season 3 of This Is Us? Think again. Rewatch This Is Us with Mary and Blake and learn interesting facts, gain additional insights, and giggle as they theorize what's going to happen in upcoming episodes. This Is Us 2 podcast is like discussing your favorite show over a cup of coffee with your best friend. Subscribe, you won't regret it. Thank you. And guys, seriously, if you're on iTunes, leave a written review. We love to read them. It brings us the biggest smile. And tell your friends about this podcast. If they like this show, This Is Us, tell them, hey, you should check this show out.
Especially when they're good, too. I like the good ones. The sucky ones, not so much.
The sucky what? Reviews? Sucky
we haven't gotten
We any, haven't actually. Gotten one yet. That's not saying please go do it.
No. Keep going with
good. Nonetheless, I'm Mary.
My name's Blake.
This is us, too. We almost ran out of room in that one.
It was close. But we're still going over.
Now we went over. We're amateurs.
Should I play the song again?
No, thanks.
okay. Hold on.
Shame.
It's my new sound. I'm so proud of it. I'm so proud of my new sound.
Land the plane, Helen.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.